T-minus 82. Dortlu Tepe, southeast of Ankara, Turkey. With darkness soon to fall over Turkey, Billy Kendrick didn't have long. Typically keen to garner and leverage as much media attention as possible for his digs and other work, Billy was this time both surprised and delighted that his team's remarkable discovery had been kept quiet for the crucial first 24 hours. He had visited twice in that time, once immediately upon receiving word, and once again when the morning light enabled him to have a real look around. This visit, however, was unplanned and occurred at very short notice. The call had come in from his team leader, Mesut Demir, a distinguished professor of archaeology who had taken leave from his university position to work with Billy. The opportunity had been truly once in a lifetime, with Timo Fiori's funding having enabled state-of-the-art deep scanning and mapping of a kind that had resided in the realms of far-flung science fiction when Mesut's long career began. He knew Billy well, personally, as well as from his enormous media profile, and the invitation had been too good to resist. The reverse was true tonight, with Billy dashing out of his Ankara hotel within seconds of Mesut's invitation, hopping in a taxi for the 60-mile drive to a site known within the team as Dortlu Tepe. Billy arrived at this designation himself during the initial scouting period, running with a very literal online translation of Quadruple Hill. The name amused his local team members enough to stick, but Billy naturally had to share the coordinates with his driver, to whom the name meant nothing. He had every confidence, however, that Dortlu Tepe would be on lips around the world before too long. Billy's impatience grew while Mesut remained insistently hesitant to say too much over the phone, but the tone in his voice was one of unbridled excitement, which Billy took to mean only one thing. The team had just discovered something even bigger than what he'd already seen. The previous evening, during Billy's initial rushed visit, Mesut had led him by torchlight to an opening that only a handful of trusted team members had laid eyes upon. It was then and there that the last 6 months of Billy's life were vindicated in an instant, as his eyes fell upon colossal pillars which instantly evoked those found at other already famous sites, such as Göbekli Tepe. Delicate excavation work had only begun on one pillar, with only its upper section visible so far. The work needed to reveal the full scope of the discovery, meanwhile, would be almost unprecedentedly intricate, given the expectation that a total of 9 buried pillars remained intact within an area no larger than a few basketball courts. To everyone on the team's joy, the upper section of that first pillar contained 4 remarkably vivid and well-preserved carvings. While remarkable in their quality, in terms of style and subject, these initial carvings were fairly representative of examples found elsewhere in the region. The sheer number of pillars that had been detected using the Timo-funded scouting equipment, however, combined with the expectation that the carvings further down would be even better preserved, had sent Billy's mind running at a mile a minute in childlike wonder of what might come next. This wonder had been running rampant even before Mesut's early evening call, boosted further still by Billy's knowledge that the pace of excavation would increase greatly when the necessary equipment arrived in another day or so, now that the team knew exactly what was needed for the specific job at hand. As the taxi driver's satellite navigation system told him that he had reached his destination, he pulled over and gazed around in quiet surprise at the number of parked vehicles and light sources. Although he naturally knew who Billy was and had just as naturally expected to reach a dig site of some kind, the level of activity in this middle-of-nowhere spot had evidently caught him off guard. "I can wait 2 hours," the man said, turning to Billy and speaking in perfect and only slightly accented English. "I must get home to my son, so any longer." He trailed off with a shake of his head. "No worries, I won't be here for that long," Billy replied with an excited smile. He handed over more than enough money to cover the return fare and stepped outside. The air was dry but full of promise, and within a few steps, he could already see Mesut walking down to greet him. No one else was present at Mesut's side. If any of the other team members still on duty had heard the taxi approaching, they either didn't know Billy was coming or were so engrossed in their latest find that they couldn't look away. He was typically greeted very warmly, sometimes uncomfortably so for a man who was more at ease in the media spotlight than among adulating peers, so the absence of a group welcome was nothing if not conspicuous. "Where is everyone?" Billy asked as Masoud drew near. The parked cars indicated that at least four others were on site somewhere, which had to be unusual in its own right, given the ever-lowering level of natural light.
"Cabin," Masoud said. "Follow me."
Having lived and worked in the United States for several years as a much younger man, Masoud's English was even better than the taxi driver's. The other Turkish team members, however, had earlier assured Billy that Masoud's penchant for brevity to the point of bluntness was just as consistent when he engaged with them in his native tongue.
"To the cabin?" Billy asked.
"Pillar,"
Masoud replied. He was smiling widely, but his eyebrows furrowed, as if wondering how Billy didn't already know the answer to this question. He held an extremely powerful flashlight in one hand, directing its broad beam well ahead of their feet until they reached the crest of the site Billy had christened Dortlu Tepe.
"And no one has recorded footage of any of this?" Billy asked.
Masoud shook his head.
"We know the rules."
"Good," Billy said. "I have a camera on my collar, just so you know. It's to record footage for Timo and will be delivered in person."
This time, Masoud nodded. It was a perfectly reasonable idea. Billy was a perfectly careful man, and the level of no-strings-attached funding Timo Fiori had thrown at their digs gave him more right than anyone to see the remarkable discovery his generosity had enabled. The site looked tremendously odd at night, even with the huge floodlights illuminating much of it. It was the light's effect on the apparent scale that made it all seem so different, Billy realized, making it difficult for his eyes to tell whether they were about to gaze upon twigs in a sandbox or redwoods in a desert. More redwood than twig, only one pillar was visible as Billy reached the partially excavated inner dig site. "That answers that," he thought to himself, assuming this to mean that further carvings had been unearthed. Quite literally, lower down on the colossal object whose uppermost section he had already seen.
"Can you see it?"
Masoud asked, shining the flashlight at the pillar. Billy leaned forward, but from a distance of around 30 meters, he couldn't discern any detail. In truth, his eyes couldn't even tell how many more layers of carvings were now visible.
"Follow,"
Masoud said, seemingly in competition with himself to convey instructions in the fewest syllables possible. He walked carefully down towards the lone, semi-excavated pillar, turning every few steps to make sure Billy was still immediately behind him. On arrival at the pillar, Masoud placed his hand on the cold stone and beamed with pride and honor.
"Now, can you see, my friend?"
he asked rhetorically, his characteristic brevity falling by the wayside in the presence of an unparalleled marvel.
"Billy, this is 12,000 years old, and I don't need to tell you what these carvings mean."
In his decades as an archaeologist and many years as a recognized expert on all things extraterrestrial, Billy Kendrick had seen a lot of things, but none like this. He sidestepped carefully to take in the eight newly visible carvings, two rows with one on each face. He couldn't even speak.
"Well?" Masoud asked.
"Well,"
Billy eventually choked out, his wide eyes frozen on the remarkable sculpture and the story its carvings told.
"These carvings sure as hell aren't going to achieve what we set out to do."
"What?"
Masoud asked, his own eyes falling on Billy in shock.
"But..."
Moments later, though, the slow grin that made its way across Billy's face cut off Masoud's words, and the warm arm Billy placed around his shoulder settled his mind.
"You see, Masoud," Billy beamed, "this discovery doesn't just rewrite our understanding of human history. This discovery sets that understanding on fire."